So this week we get our first taste of midweek Canadian Championship action in an expanded format, an exciting format. We saw the video that Canada Soccer released today, the day of recording, and get you pumped up.
Yeah, what is hype may never die. It's a little Game of Thrones reference for all my fellow Game of Thrones fans.
I don't watch it.
Nobody watches it. The same thing happened to Kurt on the broadcast. Like Asa made like a Game of Thrones reference, and he just looked at him blankly. Like, really? Are you guys really doing this to me right now?
Yeah, I loved it. He's just like, yeah, I don't watch it.
Yeah, it's this obscure show called Game of Thrones on HBO. Like, I think like something like 3 or 4 people watch it, but I think you should check it out.
Pretty difficult to find yourself in a room with 2 people who don't watch it.
But it's true, yeah.
But
yeah.
Speaking of our own audience version of Game of Thrones, I mean, it is sort of a Game of Thrones here in Canada Soccer. I mean, you've got multiple different families, factions, you would say, MLS, PLSQ, CPL. They're all vying for this trophy. And I mean, if you look at it, this might genuinely be the most exciting Canadian championship buildup I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Well, I mean, it's coast to coast, right? And you mentioned it today, Armin, you know, something just completely crossed my, just like, you know, never even thought of. This is the first time a team from Atlantic Canada is going to be competing.
Yeah.
With Halifax, right?
Yeah. And FC Edmonton has some history, but you know, you've got Calgary involved, you have Vancouver Island now, there's all these potential matchups and there's all these potential rivalries that could develop, the intra-league rivalries. I mean, how cool would it be to see York 9 take on, you know, Blainville in meaningful competition? Well, we know now. This is a first-round matchup, but it's also Ontario versus Quebec. It's kind of Toronto versus kind of like, you know, in and around Montreal. And will we see the same sort of heated passion between two sides that maybe don't even like each other? Who knows?
Yeah, it's a proper cup competition now. Like, I think in past years, it's produced some great moments and some of the most memorable moments in Canadian soccer over the past 10 years or so. But it's always kind of just been that little mini tournament, you know. It's been the 3 MLS clubs in Ottawa and more recently, obviously, the PLSQ and League One sides coming in as well. But now it's really got a mix of teams, venues, players. Is a proper competition.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back on like the last 10 years, 11 years of Canadian Championship action, all I remember are these highlight moments. I mean, it just seems like every year this tournament just amazes. Like even recently, Jovinko's game winner against Montreal Impact or
Will Johnson's goal.
Will Johnson, yeah.
Jonathan Osorio coming up big in one of them. And then you go back into the past and you have guys like Dwayne DeRosario, that hat-trick performance, Amado Guevara, you know, The Chad Barrett, I mean, that 6-1 TFC over Montreal Impact to snatch the title away from the Whitecaps, I believe it was. So it's just been like a tournament steeped in these kind of heroic moments. And it's going to be fascinating to see how the CPL and even PLSQ, League One Ontario, how these like new teams can really impact the way this tournament's told.
So there's 3 games in the first leg for round number 1. Vaughan's hosting HFX Wanderers. Blainville is hosting York 9 FC. And then we have the one all CPL tilt, Pacific FC hosting Cavalry FC. That one's 10:30 Eastern time on Wednesday, 7:30 Pacific time. The other 2 games at 7 p.m. Eastern. Any predictions for these games? I mean, you know, we were kind of talking a little bit before, Ollie. You know, these League One teams and these PLSQ teams, you know, their quality. And, you know, they gave Ottawa Fury a run for their money. Blainville did last year. You know, anything that you kind of see out of these 3 matches?
I think the CPL team's got to be careful. You know, I think they have more quality on the park. You know, York 9 signed Abzi from Blainville because he was a standout player. So you would think that the CPL teams have the quality to win these ties. But I think, firstly, the first thing is that these CPL teams are young. The second thing is that a lot of them are trying to play in a very progressive way and play out of the back and take risks. And that can leave you open to counter-attacking teams. So you add in the kind of injuries that Halifax have going to Blainville and, you know, York 9 needing a bit of confidence, having not won a game yet. And they've got to be wary here. They've got to be careful. I think they should win these ties, but they're not foregone conclusions by any stretch of the imagination.
You got to imagine, like, out of that 3 sort of fixtures that, you know, I think the York 9 versus Blainville one might have the potential for a bigger upset. I don't see HFX really struggling against Vaughan, just because Vaughan is, you know, they're a League One Ontario champion. They're a good team, but I think most of their, you know, star players, most of their good players are sort of bounced out and into York 9, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. they're a big team, though. You know, if you look at the rosters of past years for Vaughan, they're a perennial. You know, they're always competing for the League One championship, and they're also quite deep. you know, obviously it has the connections with Carm, with York 9 too. I don't know. I would think Vaughn would maybe have a little bit more of an edge.
I just see Blainville as being the team that kind of is ready to, you know, pull off an upset against a bigger team, just because Blainville is such a big unknown. I mean, even from the Montreal trials, when we did the open trials from coast to coast, I was more impressed with the talent on display in Montreal than any other stop, really. And it's a testament to, you know, the quality that exists in Quebec. And, I mean, you got to look at Blainville and say, you know, no CPL team from Quebec. It's our chance to represent our entire province. And we got to show why we're a big province and why we're a big player in Canadian soccer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Blainville are probably the slightly bigger threat to cause an upset, just because, you know, York 9, as I said, we're still waiting for that first win from them. I think Halifax, you know, although they haven't got results on the road, they've looked a solid outfit, and they've looked like the kind of team that could get, even if they lose the game, get the kind of close scoreline that they can take back to Wanderers grounds, and we've seen how good they can be there.
A big storyline this year so far has been how the managers in the CPL have been managing the way the season has started, because the games have come so quick, so fast. And I'm just curious what you guys think about, you know, the Canadian Championship is, you know, a new competition. It's a new way for managers to maybe rotate their squads. You know, maybe they're not going to put as much weight in the Canadian Championship over the league. Like, how do you guys see that shaping out?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that they're going to treat it as, I think some teams will treat it as a huge priority. Like, I know Jeff Paulus has earmarked this as, like, he really wants to beat an MLS team. That's sort of his goal. And I think that, you know, Forge is going to want to win everything that they can get their hands on. Cavalry is going to probably want to test themselves, because they probably feel like this team is worthy of the mantle. And I genuinely, you know, I don't see any coach looking at the Canadian Championship, even in the first year, and going, not quite as important. Especially considering that the Canadian Championship kicks off before the spring season ends. So they're looking at this as almost an opportunity to even take something away from the early parts of the season, where maybe they don't have the spring title in them.
Yeah, I really hope they take it seriously, because these clubs are still establishing themselves in their communities. They're still trying to earn fans. And like we were just talking about, this is a competition that can really produce some memorable moments that get fans coming back and buying season seats and really forming attachments and bonds with these clubs. So I hope they take this competition seriously and don't kind of see it as a distraction.
Yeah, let's round out our predictions, though, by maybe talking about that third game, Cavalry versus Pacific. Who do you guys have?
Cavalry.
I know it's a tough one.
It's tough to look past Cavalry right now.
Unanimous top choice for our power rankings.
And this is over two legs, so there will be a Spruce Meadows and a West Hills battle, and you got to imagine over two legs, Cavalry probably has it. But, you know, that's the beauty of CPL. I mean, we're saying these things as though they're, you know, foregone conclusions, but it's still very early. And, you know, one Marcus Haber returned to the lineup and Pacific becomes a completely different animal.
Yeah, looking ahead, you know, there are some interesting matchups. For example, you know, if Pacific FC beats Cavalry and then maybe they beat Forge, they'll take on Vancouver Whitecaps, an all-BC affair. You know, there's a couple of those that we've seen. So what are some of those matchups that you're maybe hoping to see in the next couple of rounds? You know, there are a couple that are kind of intriguing.
Pacific Whitecaps would obviously be the one that stands out, just the way the bracket has come out. But I think even if it's Cavalry or Forge against the Whitecaps, even though there's not the same local element, you've got two of the best CPL teams going up against a kind of rebuilding Whitecap side. And I think a few people at CPL HQ would be pretty excited about that one.
I just want to see York 9 versus Toronto FC. Like, that's the one for me.
Yeah.
Forge,
I
want to
see Jimmy.
Well,
yeah. I want to see Jimmy Brennan taking on his old team. Like, I want him to walk through the gates at BMO Field, walk through the tunnel, and step back out onto BMO Field as an adversary and not as your captain.
Yeah, that would be an incredible story.
But that's the beauty of this tournament, is that it opens up these possibilities, intra-league possibilities, and it's just one of those, there's a magic to, even cup tournaments around the world, like, there's a magic to the FA Cup that isn't necessarily seen in the Premier League, where you see these like smaller teams upsetting the Giants, or last-minute goals deciding two-legged ties, and it's a beautiful tournament to watch. And if the Canadian Championship has the precedent to carry into the future, I think we're in for something really special this year.
Mm-hmm. It brings the best out of stadiums like the Wanderers grounds as well, where you can really pack people in and get that atmosphere going. That can play a real part in these 90-minute or 180-minute ties.
So we're looking at it from the perspective of, you know, these juicy matchups, but with seven CPL teams, that's more than any other league is putting up. There's three MLS clubs, one USL, one PLSQ, one League One Ontario. So if you're looking at it from like a purely objective statistical approach, there's a healthy contingent of options for CPL to actually win the Voyageurs Cup. Now, all that being said, assuming that a CPL team does celebrate the actual victory of the Canadian Championship, Marty, you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and we said, let's save it for the podcast. So let's actually delve into this. How would each of the CPL head coaches react and celebrate the procuring of the Voyageurs Cup?
Oh, my God. I think it would be, I just picture Rob Gale just at the Forks in Winnipeg, just like this huge street party.
Yeah.
I
also see Rob Gale like accidentally running it over in like a 4x4 or something, and just like a la Sergio Ramos, just accidentally like bending the cup and then like, you know, fixing it back in place, hoping nobody notices.
But like, you know, the idea of like, we're going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It needs to have something like that. Is it Niagara Falls? I don't know.
Canada's Wonderland, yeah, something like that.
For Vaughn, maybe, and for York 9.
Yeah, speaking of York 9, I mean, you got to imagine Jimmy Brennan's probably just dreaming of taking a drink out of that cup again. He's won it a couple times as a player, and he's going to want to win it as a manager. So I think that's how he would probably celebrate with some champagne. Stephen Hart, maybe a different taste. Maybe he'll...
Oh, taste the soup!
Maybe he'll fill it with, you know, a good little chicken noodle soup after those misty HFX Wanderers finals.
Oh my goodness, can't wait. Yeah. Cannot wait.
I think the one person that we know for a fact would, you know, parade it around town, although not his hometown, is Cavalry's Tommy Wilding Jr. I'm sure he'll, you know, take it around Calgary and show it off, but he's going to want to take that back home to Merseyside as well, and, you know, because it's really the only silverware Liverpool's going to be able to celebrate that year.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, sorry, that was a burn on Liverpool. But you got to imagine probably, you know, Michael Silberbauer would just like send an email back home, just be like, hey guys, it took me like 3 months, conquered Canada.
You'd have to go the length of it to win it for sure.
What about Bobby? What would Bobby do?
Bobby Smyrdiotis. Man.
That's a tough one. See, yeah, I could see Bobby doing one of two things. I could see him either just, you know, celebrating it, giving it back to the fans. He's really, you know, fan conscious.
Mm.
But at the same time, could you not see Bobby Smyrniotis also just being like, yep, on to the next one?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his demeanor as a coach for sure.
Yeah, and then are we missing anybody? I think Jeff Paulus.
Jeff Paulus, yeah.
What would Jeff Paulus do?
Oh, he's taking it outside, anywhere outside.
Camping?
Yeah, he's taking it camping. We know the winter camp story. We've heard it a million times.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think, yeah, he would probably be like very introspective with it, just kind of looking to the like reflection of it and be like, this is mine now.
On that note, the pursuit for the Canadian Championship and the Voyageurs Cup begins on Wednesday. As we mentioned, Vaughan hosting HFX Wanderers, Blainville hosting York 9. Those are both 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then Pacific is hosting Calvary. That's 10:30 Eastern time, 7:30 local time. Guys, Canadian Championship's here. And then back to more league action on the weekends. Crazy times.
Doesn't stop.
Let's wrap this up with our prediction for who will win the Voyageurs Cup. Realistically, it doesn't have to be a CPL team. Just who do you guys see as being the winners of this year's edition?
This year is really up in the air. I think TFC are at their most beatable. Even with the year they had last year, I think that kind of made it even more important to win the Voyageurs Cup and get back in the Champions League. I'm going to defer to you first, Marty, while I think about this.
Yeah, it's just the way, because TFC is defending champions, they start in that semifinal. I still think it has to be TFC.
Yeah, they're probably still the favorites, but I'm going to go against the grain. I think Forge probably has it in them. I see that team being deep enough, especially if like Toronto FC doesn't necessarily start their best players. I mean, like you mentioned, Ollie, it's not their best season, so maybe they'll be in a point in their year where they have to make decisions as to how they prioritize things. And, you know, put up Forge team that has Emery Welshman, Kyle Becker, Quillen Roberts, a bunch of former TFC guys. And if they make that semifinal, I mean, they're going to want it.
Yeah, and you made up a great point, Ollie, about Forge meeting Vancouver in that next round. Like, that might be the most beatable MLS team. And then after that, I believe that they go into that second semifinal that doesn't have TFC in it. So you could get, who knows, another CPL team, right, at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to go, just to not pick TFC for once, because what is it, 3 years in a row now? Four years?
Three.
I'm going to go with the Impact.
Yeah.
Got some good young Canadian players in that team.
All right.
Shamit Shoem is playing well in their midfield. So yeah, I'll go with the Impact.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating to watch it all unfold. It starts on Wednesday evening, and you can catch it all on onesoccer.ca.